Hello and welcome to another episode of Rethink Possible, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators. Rethink Possible explores pockets of awesomeness taking place in school districts as told by school district leaders. I'm Bob McDowell, your host. Let's dig in. Hello, everyone. I'm excited today to have Superintendent Jeremy Caius with me, a unique superintendent who works in Tolleson Union High School District in Arizona. And while it has 14,000 students, it is comprised of seven high schools, and they're all 9 through 12. So welcome, Jeremy. Thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me, Bob.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing we're excited to hear about is you have a thing you're starting up called Commitment Day. And so I was thinking as we talked about it that superintendents out there would be very interested to hear what it is that Commitment Day consists of and how you are going about getting it organized and orchestrated to pull off here in the coming year.
Absolutely. First, I'll talk about the origin of the idea. So it's actually a spinoff from ideas that were happening with our universities here in Arizona. So our three universities got together and they decided that they wanted to do something about getting more students into the universities. And that was to remove the barrier of the application. So when they looked at why do students not go on to the university, they were finding that there's many students who don't even apply to the university. They don't think the university is an option for them. And what they've started doing now is without an application from the student, they take all of the transcripts through the student's junior year, and they are able to tell students, like, you are on track to be at the university next year. And we are accepting you. We're accepting you under the conditions of, you're going to finish graduating. You're going to finish meeting, our requirements for admission, but we're pre-accepting you. And so their idea for how they were going to roll that out was to send out these letters to all these houses of the students, right? When you get a letter and it's like, ASU has accepted you. Mm-hmm. When you finish graduating, ASU is ready to take you in. So when they did that, I asked my team, I'm like, it's great. I'm definitely, I definitely appreciate that the three universities are going to go do this. However, I do have some concerns. And some of the concerns were first around receiving that letter. I'm like, let's think about when we receive letters that tell us that we've won a prize we didn't even put in for, right? Used car dealerships like to do that for us a lot, right? Scratch off right here. And these lucky numbers of yours reveal that you've won a prize. You just have to come down to the dealership and we'll tell you what the prize is. And here's the prize is you've won a new car. You just got to pay $50,000 for it. It's not something that we really, that type of solicitation, we don't really like respond well to. We're not exactly feeling like, oh yeah, how lucky I've won this prize that I didn't put in for.
Right.
So I was concerned about the impact and how that landed and resonated with the students who didn't quite have any kind of context of understanding of what it meant to be accepted to the university without even having to put in the application. The other piece I worried about was that when the students who were excited about receiving their letter started to have those conversations at school. So picture a group of students around having this conversation of, oh, I got my letter. Oh, yes, I got my letter too. And everybody's talking about their acceptance letters to the university. But you have one student who's sitting there and he's not saying anything.
Right.
And he's not saying anything because his mailbox is empty. How does that student feel? Now they're at the beginning of their senior year and they are already feeling like college isn't for me. Nobody wants me. Nobody sent me a letter. So right. I was worried about that student. So I challenged my team at that point and I told them, let's talk about this. Is this really the experience we want for our students? It's a move in the right direction, but are there some unintended consequences that we want to talk about? And then after I did that, then I told my cabinet, I was like, I don't want you guys to think about the logistics of what I'm about to tell you. I don't want you to think about whose shoulders the burden of doing the different pieces of work that are going to need to take place. I don't want you thinking about any of that. I only, what it comes out of my mouth next, I only want you picturing it and telling me, do you feel this is what's best for our students? Is this sound more like an experience that you want for our students? And then I outline commitment day for them. Essentially, what commitment day is we're going to bring out every single one of our seniors to State Farm Stadium. And we've told the universities, don't send out those letters. They're not going to know yet what they're accepted to. They're all going to come out to State Farm Stadium. And I'm going to stand on the stage at State Farm Stadium, and I'm going to make an announcement. And I'm going to say, the following list of students, when I call out your name, you have been accepted to ASU, U of A, NAU, GCU, Australia Mountain Community College, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Space Force, Intel, Honeywell, Verigy, all of these different companies, all of these different universities, the military, all of these people want you after you graduate. Where do you want to go? And some students are going to feel comfortable making that decision by the time they get to that point at State Farm Stadium, and they're going to come up and they're going to take the microphone and they're going to say, I'm going to go be a Sun Devil. I'm going to go be an Antelope. I'm going to go to the Marines. They're going to come up and announce what it is that they're doing after graduation. And when they do that, we're going to point them to the booth that's set up for that specific entity that they've selected. Great. Now go talk to them. Make sure you know everything that you need to do between now and graduation day so that plan becomes a reality. Some students are going to come up and they're going to say, that's a lot of great options. I don't know yet what I want to do. Like, that's fine. That's perfectly fine to not have a decision yet. But there's your counselor over there. Go talk with your counselor. Let's start to narrow it down. And if you have to visit 3 or 4 booths today to help get you to a place where you feel more comfortable making a decision, even if you're not making that decision today, let's start to narrow your interests. Let's start to get you ideas on what those different possibilities look like. Let's get you closer to making a decision, because the sooner you make that decision, the chances of you being successfully completing that decision, like it goes up significantly when you're planning ahead. So let's go work with your counselor. They're going to take you to a few booths, and we're going to get it narrowed down.
Wow. So you've got really in this type of a scenario, you've got internal planning and external planning you're doing simultaneously then, because you got your team, you got your layered counselors, principals of buildings, right? All that group. And now you also, I would assume, need to have the representatives from the outside agencies and start coordinating those folks, those organizations as well. What has been the similarity and difference between coordinating those two different groups of people?
The logistics, the coordination, it's been the biggest obstacle to overcome right now.
Yeah.
So it really depends on the external agency. With a lot of them, we already have longstanding good relationships with. And the moment we approached them on this idea, they said, we are there. We're bringing out our mascot. We're decorating our booth. And we will have everything we need to hand out to those students that day so they know that we are the right choice. So we have, you know, the really great partnerships where they're just all over this. They're like, and if you need any extra hands on that day setting things up, let us know. We can send you over some bodies to help get this thing off the ground. But then there are others where we don't have as longstanding a relationship or as a significant presence with. And we want them included. So we've been trying on those a little bit more, getting them more involved and getting them to start to commit. One of the things that was holding us up the most was actually our venue. So the venue, State Farm Stadium, has significance for us because that's where we hold graduation.
Okay.
I wanted commitment day to draw that parallelism for our students. I wanted them to understand that today, on September 17th and 18th, you are committing to, when we come back to you in the end of May and you're graduating, like, we are planning out what you are working on over the next 8 months. You're going to manifest your destiny right now in the middle of State Farm Stadium, and 8 months from now, it needs to be reality. So I wanted it to be right there at State Farm Stadium. Now, unfortunately, with State Farm Stadium, we're not the number one customer for them. We should be. I won't hold it against them because I am a Cardinals fan, so I understand that they have to give a little bit of emphasis on the Cardinals' needs. And until NFL schedules were released, they didn't have practice schedules. They didn't know what dates they'd actually be available.
Gotcha.
All of that had to unfold first before they could even offer us days. We finally landed on those days, so September 17th and 18th, for a couple of days they could commit to giving us the stadium to hold these events.
What's been your communications plan? How have you navigated that between, because you've got probably obviously communications that have to go to kids. You got communications for families. You got communications for staff. What's that looked like?
On the staff piece, first I had to start with my principals to let them know how we're going to navigate all of this. In addition to the actual commitment day, we wanted the students that when they get to commitment day, that they're making an informed decision. So that meant at the beginning of the school year in August, we needed to get them information from all of our partners that are going to be available. So we're planning similar to what you would do for a college and career day event at each of the sites in the beginning of the school year. So that's been tough because we wanted to make sure that it was something that the principal felt they could work into the beginning of their school year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had all the different departments that are going to be involved. And so we've been working with each of them and holding committee meetings to talk about all the logistics. We have to have transportation for the students. What time of day are we running the event? Are the students going to be able to be picked up from the school and taken there? Because if we're expecting students to get there on their own for this event, we're probably not getting a good turnout. So we had to run those pieces. Then we had to ask some certain areas to leverage their relationships to ensure that we have at least two offerings for every student. It sounds like it's not that difficult of a task until you break down what it means to have two opportunities for every student, right? Not just the good students, not just the 4.0 GPAs,
right,
but students with exceptional, you know, that are in our exceptional student services that have special needs. Like, do they have two opportunities of what they're going to do after high school?
Right.
Students that may have behavioral issues, do they have opportunities if they can find a way to graduation that after high school, there's something waiting for them, right? When you start getting into every student and looking at the nuances that come with making sure you have at least two opportunities for every student, the first 80, 90% of your students, that goes pretty quick. Like, oh yeah, we definitely have more than two options for them. You start to get down to that final 10% and you're working a little harder on your partners to be able to ensure that you have opportunities for them.
What's the length of time that you're anticipating this event being between the, by the time kids get there, you go through your announcements and then they spend time with their two choices?
So we're looking at a two-hour event. So similar to what we see right now with graduation, where, you know, graduation is a two-hour event. A lot of that time will be the announcement for the students, and the students be able to come up and take the microphone and be able to announce where they want to go. That'll take up the majority of the time. We're going to do some small promo commercials on each of the different opportunities to, again, try to entice students to want to make those different choices. So the length of the event will be about 2 hours, which means we have to space the events out 3 hours apart, because we'll bring in each high school one at a time, just like we do for graduation.
Okay.
And so when you have a two-hour event, we need an hour just to empty and reload the stadium. Families will be welcome to come watch their student make their choice, to join them as they talk to the different entities that we're going to have out at the booths to talk about what that decision looks like. If you're going to the military, what does that look like? What would you ship out? Where are you doing basic training? Like, to have those types of conversations as they're looking at those different options.
So will students sit, will they be able to sit with their families then? Will they be able to take over the whole, are you taking over the whole stadium? Will it look and feel a lot like a graduation type ceremony?
Yes. Well, we will have the students on the floor. We get the whole stadium. So State Farm does this for us now in our graduations. We have the students on the floor and the families are in the stands.
Okay.
So okay. The booths will also be on the graduation floor. But we'll invite families to be able to interact with their student when they go back to the booths. If you want to picture it, it's basically a stage almost at midfield, which is how we set up for graduations. They run a big curtain, and normally behind the curtain is where we're staging for the next class to come in for graduation. Now, instead of needing the stage for graduation, we will have the booths back there. And so after you've made your announcement, you go behind the curtain, you go talk to everybody at the booths, and you find out more information about your decision and what that's going to look like after high school.
Wow. So, you know, again, I want to, for some of the districts, particularly here in Minnesota, and I think in some other places, this idea of a project that is at this scale, right? So many of our colleagues, while they may have a really large district, it's not all high school. So you're coordinating maybe 1, 2, 3 high school events. They probably don't happen on the same day at the same time. Here you've got 7 high schools coming. What's the farthest away? What high school is the farthest away that kids are traveling?
Our district boundary is not that great. It's 102 square miles. So we are a suburb of Phoenix. So we're still, you know, contained somewhat in the city. So we have, you know, we have good access to the stadium. We have multiple freeways that run through the district. So I wouldn't expect a commute from a student's home to State Farm Stadium to be more than maybe 20, 25 minutes, depending on the time of day that their event is scheduled. Our goal, though, is to be busing all the students. And so really it's just the families that would be driving over there. It's is the hope. But it's going to depend on when we have those different start times on who's going to be bused back and forth versus who's going to go ahead and we're just going to encourage them to show up with their families. When we do graduations right now, we do have some that go into the evening. And so they ride with their families over there. So it's a little, that's the piece that's a little bit different than graduation.
Yeah. So this event kicks off, the school year starts up. Everybody's got a plan. What's the check-in look like? What's the benchmark as you go throughout the year? What's that envisioned as?
So I've asked all of our participants who are providing these opportunities for our students, especially when you look at military, universities, but any others that can do this as well, if they could provide a pin to the students that have selected them. And then I want to have pin days where we tell everyone, wear your choice, right? Show what you're proud of. Be proud of your decision, wear your pin today. And then when we show up to the school, we should see a lot of pins on our seniors with what they're doing next. Now, I have some of my cabinet saying, you know, that people don't really wear pins anymore. So we are thinking about, you know, do we need something else? But we want some expression throughout the year, so we can keep reminding them what their choice is, and so they can keep being proud of that choice and know that that's what they're looking forward to after high school, and that they keep working towards that goal.
Yeah. Besides counselors checking in, is there anything that is planned with the instructional staff as far as check-ins or parts of their day with kids that you envision taking place?
It's going to depend on the choice. So if you're choosing a career pathway, you may get a check-in from our, you know, career and technical education director, who might go out there and say, hey, you know, just want to let you know, we need you to to be a completer, we need you to finish up these courses to make sure you get your certificate and you're actually ready to go work for that company afterwards. You said you want to go work for. So it's really going to depend on the path. If they're picking a university or a community college, we will certainly invite our partners to come out and meet with the students who have selected them and check in with them on their own as well to make sure that they are successfully completing that transition. We got to make sure that we hand off the baton, you know, as they go on to that next step. When we look at our whole purpose for existing, we're never the destination, right? We are just a milestone. We are an entity that you are passing through for 4 years to get you to where you need to be next. No more than an airport. Like, if I go to visit a city, I'm not going to visit their airport. It's necessary that I go through their airport to be at that destination. But the airport was never the destination. The destination was something else that exists beyond those airport walls. So that's what we are as a high school. We're not the destination. We're a milestone. We're something that they need to traverse through to be able to get to the next, to get to their actual destination. And so we're just trying to make sure that we're completing that journey for them.
So that's a perfect segue into, I have to assume that this aligns with one or more pieces of your strategic planning that's going on. In terms of meeting the needs of kids, is that something that has been, that you've had to fold into this as far from a decision-making, from keeping it grounded for folks at the different high schools and for your leadership team?
Yes. We had to start with stating, like, what do we mean by all students?
Mm-hmm.
Right. If we're going to use an expression like all students, if you want to say all students, you're not talking about 90% of students. You're not talking about 95% of students. You're not talking about the students who really want to, you know, make it. Like, if you're going to say all students, then you have to do something deliberate and intentional to make sure that it is, in fact, all students. And so this event is how we are getting to all students will be college and career ready. Right, college, career, and military, like all students. If we're going to be all students, then we have to check in with the students. We have to figure out who's not making it, who's not part of the all students. And so when we see what students are like, I really don't know what I'm doing after high school, then how are they college and career ready if they have, if their biggest plan is to go home and play Fortnite after graduation, then we didn't do our job. We didn't ensure all students had a plan.
Sure. So the last question that I have for you is really around the idea of, if I'm a superintendent, maybe even a high school principal that wants to try something like this, now that you're at the final stages of getting this ready, what would you tell them to pay attention to? What would you tell them to spend more time on before taking the next step? How to sequence this out? What have you found most important?
Well, the first thing I'd recommend is follow my podcast. We just launched it. It'll be coming up here in the end of June. It's The Education Exchange. And on the podcast, we talk to all of our guests for Commitment Day. So, you know, we'll have guests on there such as Arizona State University, Grand Canyon University, Australia Mount Community College, the president of the Mattel Adventure Theme Park, right? Because that's a large employer that's moving into our boundary. But we're going to continue to have all the different guests that we're going to have out at Commitment Day. And we're going to talk to them about their role in Commitment Day, their thoughts about the upcoming Commitment Day. So I think, you know, if you follow the podcast, you'll hear kind of firsthand how those plans are coming together. And additionally, after we get past Commitment Day, that's where we'll have an episode where we're debriefing, like, what happened at Commitment Day? What did we learn? What could be done better? This is the first year that we're doing it, so I'm sure we're going to continue to learn lessons along the way. So following the Education Exchange, adding that to your podcast list, I think is the best way to find out, like, how this is progressing.
Fantastic. Well, again, thank you. We've been talking with Superintendent Jeremy Caius for the Tolleson Union High School district in Arizona, where we've been talking about Commitment Day for seven high schools that he's going to bring together the students, the families, and where their prospective next steps are after they graduate from one of those seven high schools. Thanks so much for being with me, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rethink Possible with Bob McDowell, a joint effort between CISO, the Center for Effective School Operations, and MASA, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators.